Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. And he, meaning Jacob, arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, set them over the brook, and sent them over what he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he, meaning Jacob, said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, to whom we cling with faith, dear fellow redeemed, if you were to examine your life, as we should do every day, would you say that you had a strong faith? The answer to that question really should be quite humbling. But when we realize our sinful nature, our sinful flesh, we often admit that our faith is not so strong, but quite weak. Our faith needs nourishing, feeding, strengthening every single day of our lives. We need to cry out like the man who asked Jesus to heal his demon-possessed son, and he said, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." He, as we, admit that our faith is not what it ought to be. It's often very weak. In fact, too often we fail to trust implicitly in what our God promises and tells us. Well, we might say, "Oh, I can take God at his word there." Then another promise comes along and our faith falters miserably. And that's a good thing that we realize that. It's a good thing that we acknowledge the weakness of our faith. Because Jesus says, when we realize our weaknesses, that's when we're strong. The first step in strengthening our faith is to realize that we don't implicitly trust and have faith in God's promises. And then to turn to Jesus, who strengthens our faith only through his word. Now, we're not talking about saving faith. Saving faith is a simple, childlike trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're talking about our faith life, our faithfulness, degrees of trust. And as adversity and troubles and trials and difficulties in our life that show us very often that our faith, our trust, is not very strong. In fact, it's those adversities that lead us to realize that we need to turn to Jesus to strengthen our trust. Our text this morning is the crowning victory of Jacob's faith life. We've entitled it "Victory Through Submission, Clinging to God." That's not how Jacob lived his life early on. In fact, he lived his life by his wits, by his own abilities, by his own schemes. And he did that ever since he was in the womb. We're told that Rachel realized there was an unusual wrestling going on within her womb between the two twins that she was going to bear. They were wrestling for supremacy. Who was going to be born first? When Esau was born, we're told that Jacob actually reached out and grabbed a hold of his leg, his heel, and tried to pull him back. He wanted to be firstborn. That's one reason why he was called Jacob, which means a leg puller, a deceiver, a supplanter, one who wants to take the place of another person. Jacob continued to do that. He took it upon himself to get his birthright by one day selling his brother a bowl of stew for his birthright when Esau was very hungry. Later on in his life, when his father was very old and blind, Jacob deceived and lied to his father and said that he was Esau. He dressed up like Esau. He said he was Esau, pretended to be him, and received the birthright. Why did he do all this? Because he had a great desire for the Lord's blessings. And the desire was fine. But his methods to get them were not. He should have placed his trust, his faith, his confidence in the Lord for him to work things out that he would get the birthright. But instead, he tried to help God out, and he did it with loveless tactics, with lies, with deception. And because of his actions, he had to flee his home with only the staff in his hand. You've heard the saying, what goes around comes around? Well, that happened to Jacob. The next 20 years, he lived with his uncle Laban, and Laban time and time and time again tried to trick, deceive, and lie to Jacob. And yet the Lord, throughout all that time, blessed Jacob immensely. And by the end of 20 years, Jacob was a wealthy man with many flocks and herds and servants and a large family. And by the direction of God, he was told, go back home to your family. And that's when Jacob's past caught up to him. As we read in our first scripture reading, Jacob sends some men out to talk to Esau to see if he's still angry with him, because Esau had sworn, I'm going to kill that Jacob for taking away my birthright. And when he finds out that Esau's on the way to meet him with 400 men, Jacob can only assume that he's on his way to kill him, maybe destroy his family, destroy everything that Jacob has gotten in the last 20 years. So what does Jacob do? Does he fall back in his old ways? Trust in his own ingenuity, his own deceptions, trickery, schemes? No. Jacob turns to the Lord in prayerful trust. After sending his family across the Jabbok River, he spent some time in prayer to the Lord. And the prayer that he gives to the Lord, as we heard in our first scripture reading, is a model prayer for us to follow. Jacob acknowledges that the God of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac, is the only God that exists in this whole world. There is only one true God, the Jehovah God, the triune God. And so he says, you are the only Lord. And he reminds God of all of his promises that he had given to him. And as he remembers all of the faithfulness and all of the blessings that God had given him, he is strengthened to be confident in the unseen future. And after pointing God to all of his loving promises, then Jacob admits to his own unworthiness. He wasn't worthy of anything. He prayed, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. In other words, I have sinned and I have done nothing to deserve your love. But Jacob closed that prayer again with his confident trust in the Lord's promise. For the Lord had promised him, you will return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. That's what Jacob clung to. But his night of praying wasn't over. Not even close. When his family went to the side of the river, and he was there all alone on that riverbank, a man approached him. He began to wrestle with him. And that wrestling went all night until almost daybreak. This was not a dream. It was not imaginary. It was not a vision. It was real. A real wrestling. But it involved more than just Jacob's arms and Jacob's muscles. It involved his heart and also his soul. We're told about this in the book of Hosea. Hosea writes, "Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled, he wrestled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him." This wrestling was physical, it was emotional, and it was spiritual, all wrapped up in one, because with whom was Jacob wrestling? With the Lord, the pre-incarnate Son of God, who is often called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. So how in the world could Jacob overcome and prevail against the Son of God? The question needs to be asked, how could that happen? If God's omnipotent, how could Jacob win? Well, the answer is, yes, God is omnipotent, but we see in this text God's grace and the power of prayer. The motivation and power behind Jacob's struggling was not his character, was not his strength, was not his ingenuity, but was his confident trust in the promises that God had given him and his earnest desire to receive a blessing of grace from his God. Jacob would not let go until his God had blessed him. Even though he suffered a dislocated hip, which must have been quite painful. In this wrestling, God had confronted him as his opponent. He grabbed him, roughly treated him, wrestled with him, touched his hip, knocked it out of joint. Why? Because of our sins and because of God's justice, God appears as our opponent. He's not pretending. God hates our sins. God hates our sinful will. But the more our will learns to submit itself to the Lord's will, to be able to truly pray without regret, without fear, "Your will be done, Lord," then the Lord doesn't prevail over us or oppose us. His grace and his mercy is shown to us. Jacob learned to be submissive to God's will, to place his will under God's will, and to trust alone in the Lord by clinging to his promises, literally with his hands, and spiritually with his heart. Paul's words are true. The more we realize how weak we are spiritually in our faith, the stronger we are by looking to Jesus. We struggle, we wrestle with the Lord every day in our prayers and in our faith life. And we don't struggle by saying, "Lord, do what I want and do what I say and do it now." No, we struggle and wrestle with the Lord by saying, "Lord, help me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your love. Help me. I'm poor, wretched, lost, weak. Rescue me from my problems. Set me free from my dilemmas. I don't know how, but you do. Not my will, but yours be done." Wrestling with God means clinging with all of our heart and all of our soul to the Lord and despairing of ourselves. That was the high point of Jacob's faith life. He no longer relied upon himself, his schemes, his ingenuity, his desires, his will. He simply clung to the Lord and his promises and trusted him implicitly, casting himself upon God's mercy and God's grace. And I'm sure in your lives there have been those nights of struggle too, when you struggle with the Lord in prayer, when everything around you looked bleak and lost, confusing, despairing, so that all you could do was cling to the Lord, trust in his word. Those who have not had that experience, who have not had that time to just fall upon the Lord and say, Lord, you need to take care of this, have missed a wonderful spiritual growing experience. I may have mentioned this before, but even if I did, it does bear repeating. One such wrestling match I can remember clearly early on in my ministry. I was instructing an adult couple. When they got instructed, the husband who had never been baptized was baptized and confirmed, and the wife was then confirmed as well. And the Lord then wrestled with them. That newfound faith, that tender shoot of trust, was under attack. Their third grade daughter suddenly came down with a very serious kidney ailment. They didn't know what was wrong. By Christmas time, things looked very, very bleak. Anxious, tearful moments were spent in prayer. Questions were asked. Doubts arose, but through all their agony, all their pain, all their sorrow, the Lord was strengthening the faith that they had learned in class and that now was putting into practice in their daily life. Could they pray, Your will be done, Lord, for our little girl? Did they really trust that all things would work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? It seemed as the months went on, the Lord had turned a deaf ear to their cause. Nothing could be found as an explanation for the daughter's illness. Therefore, there was no cure. There was no remedy. God appeared as their opponent. Remember, at one time, during that 9-month period of her illness, the father came to me in tears and said, Why is God punishing my daughter? Why is he punishing me? Because of my sins. All that he and his wife had learned about God's grace and God's love and mercy was now beginning to doubt. Was it fantasy? Was it real? But it's then that we need to continue to cling to God and never, ever, ever let go. Cling tightly to his grace, to his promises, and his word, and say with Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then we, by God's power, can accept whatever comes our way, whether it be good or bad. Fortunately, after almost 9 months of some agonizing wrestling with the Lord, the little daughter was miraculously cured. After that soul-searching time, both of those parents came to me and said, that was a good time for them. Hard as it was, it made what they had learned in class alive in their heart. It wasn't just what they heard from a book or heard from the pulpit, but it lived in their daily life as they prayed fervently and earnestly for God's help and mercy. They were hopeless and helpless in regard to their daughter's disease. God answers our personal prayers. He hears our cries for help, for forgiveness, for assurance, for confidence every day of our life. And he lets himself be conquered, overcome, because he promises, I will hear and answer all of your prayers for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name. for this family, their daughter was a living testimony of all of God's promises that he made to them. For Jacob, the living testimony for him was a daily thing, because from the time God touched his hip, he limped. And as he limped, he'd remember how he wrestled with God and overcame the Lord, and God blessed him tremendously. At the same time, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. No longer would Jacob be a deceiver, a leg puller, one who tries to take the place of someone else through schemes or deception, but now he'd be Israel, which means one who struggles, wrestles with God, and wins. As adversities, troubles, dilemmas, trials, temptations, spiritual wrestling comes our way, may we not be a Jacob and think, I rely on myself. I rely on my faith. But may we be in Israel to acknowledge our own weaknesses and cling tightly to God's promises, to his clear and simple word, to his grace, to his mercy, to his forgiving love, his assurance of forgiveness, salvation, everlasting life alone through Jesus. And when we do fail, and our grip slips, and we pray to the Holy Spirit for that repentant heart that confesses our sins again, looks to Jesus Christ, and assured by his shed blood, we're washed clean, and through the power of his resurrection, grab hold again to our loving Savior for another day. Yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And I will not let you go unless you bless me. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.